What's up, guys? It is great to be back with you, let me tell you. It's great to be in this room together. Tonight is a great night because we get to be back together, but tonight is a great night because there's some free Chick-fil-A afterwards. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Bro, you toss out that free Chick-fil-A, the college students flock. Amen. Praise God. Guys, if you're new here tonight, maybe somebody invited you. Maybe you just heard about some free Chick-fil-A. Maybe somebody randomly tossed you in a car and said, let's go. I just want to say welcome. We are so glad that you are here. And you might be wondering, what did I say yes to? Well, as Mariah said, Salt Company, Omaha, we exist to make gospel-centered, college-age disciples of Jesus that further the local church. We do that through gathering on Thursday nights, like tonight, and scattering throughout the week in city groups. Whether you have a spiritual background or not, whether you would call yourself a Christian or you're just a little jaded to the whole God thing, know that you are welcome here in this place. Know that you are welcome here in this place. And I'm so glad that you're here. And believe it or not, I've actually been praying for you. I've been praying for you this entire week that God might meet you here tonight. So each week, Thursday nights, 8 p.m. in this room, we gather together to worship Jesus in song and to hear what he would have to say to us through his word, the Bible. We believe the Bible has good news for those who are far from God and good news for those who would call themselves Christian. You may be religious, you may be rebellious, you might be indifferent towards God. But let me tell you, there is good news found in the person and work of Jesus Christ for you, no matter how you're coming into this room. He isn't just another political or religious figure from history. He's the God of the universe. And he has the power to save you, to change you, and to give you purpose for your life. And so whether you've been connected here for a couple of years, maybe you've been casually attending on and off this past semester, or maybe this is your first time ever here, guys, I'm praying tonight that God would do a work in your heart and that he would do a work in my heart. You're here for a reason. You're here in this room for a reason. And I wonder if that reason might be that Jesus wants to meet you here tonight. He wants to speak to you here tonight and tell you how much he loves you. Anyway, my name is Travis. I get to serve on staff here with Salt Company as a director. And something you need to know about me is this. I am a dreamer. I love to dream. I'm always dreaming about new and exciting trips to go on. I love to travel. I'm dreaming about new things that I can buy. And I love to work with my hands. So I'm always thinking of new projects I can do on my truck or on my house or just something I can build with my hands. I'm just dreaming. And to be honest, one of the reasons that I love to dream about new things is the fact that, if I can be honest, I treat my dreams and my hopes, I treat them kind of like a rainbow. Like, as soon as I accomplish them, as soon as I do them, maybe there'll be like a pot of gold at the end. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm looking for satisfaction in it. You know, I've always been a competitive person. Growing up, I would dream about sports and academic accomplishments, beating other people, hoping that if I was the best, I would finally get the recognition that I really, really wanted. I remember hoping and dreaming about finally getting a girlfriend. Oof. Think of that when I would finally get that person to love and to care for me and give me attention, then I would be satisfied. You know, and going to college, I hope that a fresh start would lead to more meaningful friendships. I hope that being known across campus would fulfill me. I hope that getting a degree would land me the dream job with the dream salary. That one obviously hasn't happened. And I hope that marrying the girl of my dreams would lead to the happy ever after ending. I had a lot of dreams and a lot of hopes. I did an old Google search, if you will, and Google defines hope as a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. Hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. As I look back on my life, you know, I'm 26 right now. I haven't been in college for a minute, but as I look back on my life, I've realized that I've often placed my hope, my expectations, my desires, I put them in a lot of different things. But when I would finally get those things, it never really ended up satisfying me the way that I thought it would. I don't know if you guys can relate to that, but I found myself asking, what's next? There's got to be something more. And I'm betting in a room like this, there are many people here who are hoping and dreaming even now about that one thing that's just out of reach. Salt Company, what's that one thing that you want that you don't have yet? What's that one thing that you want that you don't have yet? Maybe it's a career. After all, you're in college. You're in the season of life to get that degree so you can get that job so you can climb the ladder of the corporate world, right? Maybe it's a relationship. You deeply desire to get a girlfriend or to have a hubby, to finally get married because you're lonely. You feel left out. You want to be cared for. Or maybe it's something else. Financial success. It's money. Maybe it's receiving recognition. Maybe you just want a clear purpose for your life. You just ask, like, what is the purpose of this all? And honestly, like all these things that we hope for, like they're good things, but I want to ask, what happens when you don't get that? Or what happens when you finally get that thing and then you lose it? And what I think is that the most terrifying question to ask about these things is, what happens when you finally get that, but you realize it's not satisfying you the way that you thought it was? It's like, why did I even do all of this? Will the thing that you hope for satisfy you? That's a question I hope that we can answer tonight. And tonight marks the beginning of a 4-week series entitled Uncommon, as the neon screen over there says. And in this series, we're going to compare a commonly tolerated struggle or desire in our lives to the uncommon way that God's word teaches us to view that topic. And so tonight's topic is hope. And Salt Company, I think that we have a problem. Each one of us in this room, we each have a problem. We place our deepest hopes and desires in all the wrong places. Each one of us, we place our deepest hopes and desires in all the wrong places. And guys, thankfully, the Bible addresses this issue of misplaced hope in our lives. And so the verses that we're going to look at tonight, they're from a lesser-known book of the Bible, the book of Lamentations. And I bet there's a good chance that many of the people in this room have never even heard of that book. And guys, that's totally okay. That's all right. Let's dive in and see what God has to say in Lamentations about our problem of hope. And so, if you want to turn to the book of Lamentations, it's a great one. It's somewhere in the Old Testament. I'm going to give you some time because it takes me a little bit to get to it. I had cheated. I had it open already. It'll also be up on the screen if you don't have a Bible with you. So we'll be in Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 21. Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 21. I'll read it here. It says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." And I'm going to pause right there. Just one sentence in. I'm going to give us a pause because there's a couple things that we need to know about the book of Lamentations before we can continue on looking at it. And the first one is this. You can look at the word Lamentations, right? And in there you see the word lament. That might be a more common word that you've seen before. And that's important. A lament, it's like a poem that protests suffering or injustice. It's a form of processing negative emotions. And laments, they were super common in ancient times. Super common. In modern day, laments are a lot like a Taylor Swift breakup song. Like All Too Well, but the 10-minute version, but much deeper and more meaningful. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? It's sad. It's evoking emotion, deep distraughtness. I'm just waiting for the Travis Kelce edition to come out. Amen? Amen? I don't know. Too soon? Okay. We'll see. Chill. I'm joking. Okay, so that's what a lament is, okay? Okay, the second thing you know about Lamentations, it's a collection of 5 of these laments, okay? 5 different poems mourning the destruction of God's people and their homeland. So a little bit deeper than a breakup, right? Mourning the destruction of God's people and their homeland. And you can read about this dark time in the people of God's history. It's in 2 Kings chapter 25. I encourage you to go check it out. But basically what you need to know is this. This is a huge monumental catastrophe. Like the worst possible thing that could happen. The Israelite people, which are God's people in the Old Testament, they've just had their homeland conquered by their enemies, and then they have been carried off by them to be their slaves in their enemy's country. So bad news bears. And the third thing you need to know about Lamentations as we enter into the third chapter is Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 24, what I'm about to read next. These are the middle verses of the middle poem, in the exact middle of these 5 chapters. So in other words, why is that important? These are the most important words that the author is trying to say, the most important message of the book. It's the climax, the whole point. And why am I telling you these 3 things? Why do we need to know this? Because when verse 21 says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I hope," we need to understand that the author is thinking about all the terrible things that have happened to him and his people. All the sadness, all the destruction, all the death of friends and families, the fact that they are slaves being forced to serve their enemies. He's keeping that in mind, and this is what he says. Verse 21, "But this I call to mind, in the midst of all this, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Like, guys, I read this and like studying the background and like knowing what's going on here, I read this and I'm like, how can he possibly be saying this? Like he is a slave in a different country. Like his entire homeland is destroyed. Everything he's worked for, everything he's dreamed about, everything that him and his people and his homeland, everything that they've worked so hard for, it is gone. And he has the audacity to say something like this in the midst of all that. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. I mentioned earlier that the story of how Israel, God's people, got to this point, it can be found in 2 Kings chapter 25. And if you were to turn back your pages of your Bible to read that story and the events leading up to it, you'd realize that the people of God, they found themselves in this situation because of the decisions that they had made. They were right where they were going. This is the trajectory that they had themselves on. They had rebelled against God's design for their life by chasing after false gods, false worship that had led them so far away from the one true God that they began practicing cult prostitute worship and even sacrificed their children. It was terrible. And God was patient in the midst of this for a long time, like 100 years. He was patient. He allowed them to keep going off this, after these things. He said, no, come back to me. But eventually he gave them up to their own desires to chase after destructive things. And so their end was destruction. The author of this, he's surviving somehow, but he would have known that his choices and the choices of his people had led them to the consequences that they were currently experiencing. The pursuits that they thought would lead to life and satisfaction, to fulfillment and purpose, it only ended in death and destruction. They had forsaken God. They'd forgotten their need for him. They'd forgotten about life that is found in him. They'd forgotten about their hope that is in him. Yet the author calls to mind again. He's calling this to mind again, the hope that he had, that he once had. In the midst of the pain and suffering of losing everything, what does he remember? I'm gonna read it one more time. He says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, they never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. He's remembering where his true hope is found, and it's in the Lord. And I want us to notice a few things he says about the Lord. What is he describing about God's character? He says, God has steadfast love, which never ceases and never ends for his people, even when they've rebelled against him. He says, God is merciful. He's extending his mercy to a people, even when they don't deserve it. God is faithful. He isn't gonna give up on his people, even when they've given up on him. You see, I think what the author's trying to say is that the hope he has, it's built upon the character of God and not his circumstances. He recalls the character of God, his love, his mercy, and faithfulness. He says, that is my portion. That is my hope. You know, when I was a kid, we had family dinners every night, okay? I don't know if anyone else had family dinners with their whole family, but we sat around the kitchen table, we ate our food, and we talked or argued, depending on the topic. And unfortunate thing about this, it has nothing to do with this story, is that my mom always made us drink a glass of milk with it. I don't know if anyone else did. I hate milk today. And it was 1% milk. It wasn't even good stuff. But anyway, my mom graciously would make us a big meal, and then we would pass it around, like in the different bowls with the food in it, and we'd scoop out whatever we want, our own portions of food, based on how much we wanted. And I was kind of like the runt of the litter. I was the smallest of all my brothers, and so my portion of food would always be a little smaller, but that was my plate, right? What was on my plate, it was all mine. I got to eat it all. I didn't have to share it with any of them. I might have to pass the bowl, but I didn't have to share my plate. When the author says, the Lord is my portion, this is kind of what he means. The Lord is before him. And he says, the Lord is mine. There's nothing else before me but him. Nothing else will sustain me but him. And I get to enjoy all that he is. He isn't looking to fill his plate with anything else in his life but the presence of the Lord. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. You know, Salt Company, the story of the people of God in the Bible, it's a story about how they so often place their hope in all the wrong places. Yet God continued to love them, to be merciful to them, and to be faithful to them. And their story, guys, is our story, okay? We were each created for a purpose, to know God and to be known by him. But like the Israelites, we have this deep-seated tendency, every one of us, this deep tendency inside of us to pull our eyes, to pull our hearts away from this purpose and to place our hope in all the wrong places. Money, it becomes the ultimate hope, our ultimate desire. Social recognition, it becomes our ultimate hope. Pleasure and sex, they become our ultimate hope. Marriage and relationship, they become our ultimate hope. And what happens when you place your hope in all the wrong places is that it will never satisfy you. You're left wanting more. You're left feeling a little more empty. You're left wondering, there's gotta be more. It pulls you away from the very thing God has created you to do, and that is to know him. And so, that thing that we thought of earlier, I want to ask, will the thing that you have been so desperately hoping for, will it satisfy you? Will it satisfy you? Will that career satisfy you? Will that relationship satisfy you? Will that recognition from others, will it satisfy you? Will the pleasures that you dream about, will they satisfy you? What is the portion that you desire? C.S. Lewis, he's an old, now dead, I suppose, so he's not old anymore, he's just dead, but he's a British author, and he once said this, it'll be up on the screens, I encourage you to follow along. He says this, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. And like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. We are far too easily pleased. We are far too easily pleased. We were created for so much more than the temporary pleasures and pursuits of this life, guys. And in these verses in Lamentations, we see how the hope of the author is sought in those things. He's chased after those things. He's seen where they lead. It's only distance from God and destruction. Been said, he remembers where true hope is found. It's in the character of God. It's not in his circumstances. It's not in what he has and what he has done. It's in God. His hope is in the Lord's steadfast love, his new morning mercies, and his unending faithfulness to his people. Salt Company, 2,000 years ago, God made his love, mercy, and faithfulness fully known to us through the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's the clearest expression of God's love and mercy and faithfulness towards us. You see, the Bible teaches that God was unwilling to let our sin and rebellion against him have the final say over our lives and over our eternity. And so he became a man in the person of Jesus Christ to save us and to open the eyes of our darkened hearts. And Jesus, he didn't just perform miracles and live a sinless life and die on a cross, not just that, but he, 3 days later, rose from his death, literally and physically rose from the grave to prove his power over sin and death and to offer forgiveness and eternal life to all who would cry out to him. In Jesus, we see God's love, mercy, and faithfulness to its fullest expression. Jesus has made a way for us to rest in this hope of God, a way of relationship through faith in Jesus, not through religious deeds, not through going to church more, not to coming to Salt Company, not to going to Citigroup, not to confessing whatever's deep and dark in your heart. None of those things save you. Baptism, no. Jesus said, only through faith in me. And what I've done on the cross, that's your only hope. As a freshman in college, I went up to Wayne State, Harvard of the Midwest. You guys may have heard of it. That was a joke. I was faced as a freshman with the realization that the things that I was placing my hope in were not satisfying. For me, I would go to parties and drink because that's what everyone else did, and I just wanted to feel accepted. I wanted to be seen. I would chase after girls because I wanted affirmation and attention from them. And yet, as I got these things that I craved, as I continued to chase after them and receive them, it somehow left me feeling more and more empty. I was placing my hope in things that were never meant to satisfy my soul. And then a friend named Steve, great dude, he told me about a God who created me, a God who had a purpose for my life greater than what I was doing, a God who actually could satisfy these deep longings that were I was not getting satisfied with alcohol and chasing after girls, a God who loved me so much that he would send his only son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price of my pride and rebellion against God. And not only did he pay that, but this Jesus, he wanted to change my life. He wanted to satisfy my parched soul. And so guys, I said yes, because why not? Everything else wasn't working. Maybe Jesus would. And guys, I can honestly say is that as I stand up here 9 years later from that moment, it was worth it. And it hasn't been easy. Following Jesus has not been easy. I've had to say no to friendships. I've had to say no to pursuits. But what I've received, man, it makes everything else pale in comparison because I've received the love, the mercy, and the faithfulness of a God who died for me. And there's nothing greater. Nothing greater. You know, I look out in this room and I know in a room this size, there are people whose faith and hope, it's in all the wrong places. And I promise you, it will never satisfy you, just like it never satisfied me. And it might not be the same thing as me. You might not have the same hopes and dreams and desires that you're running so hard towards. But I promise you that whatever you're chasing after, if it isn't Jesus, it will only lead you to the same place that I was, which was empty and unsatisfied. If that's you, maybe you recognize that, you know, I've been chasing after some stuff and I keep wondering, when am I actually gonna feel that feeling of satisfaction? When am I actually gonna feel whole? When am I actually gonna feel loved? Will I ever? Guys, I would invite you to place your hope in Jesus. The only place where true hope is found. He's the only place where satisfaction and purpose is found. Man, would you place your faith in him tonight? You're not too far gone. There's no place that you can go that he does not want you to turn to him. Would tonight be the night where you consider Jesus' invite to place your hope in him as worth it? Would it be worth it? His love, his mercy, and his faithfulness, it extends even to you. And I know that because it was extended even to me, even in my darkest spot. And it was extended to the author of Lamentations, even in his darkest, most rebellious spot. For those in this room who have placed their faith in Jesus already, I can't help but wonder if you felt thoughts of doubt like me sometimes running through your mind because you look at your life and, man, it wasn't just up and to the right after following Jesus. You weren't just smelling the roses all the time. Maybe through your mind, you're saying something like, I know I said I trusted in Jesus, but I blew it. I've gone back to the same old sin habits that I said I never would. I abused that substance. I compromised in that relationship. I looked at those images late at night in my room. I've messed up. I messed up again. Or maybe I've been so stuck in my sin for so long, there's no way that God could still love me. How could he? May I joyfully remind you that his steadfast love for you never ceases and his mercies, they never come to an end. They are new every morning towards you and your faithlessness to him, it does not determine his faithfulness to you. His love for you, it does not change whether you've done all the right Christian things from birth or whether you messed up last night. Whether you follow him and read your Bible every day or whether you've ignored him every day of your life. You haven't done anything to earn his love, and you can't do anything to earn it. And therefore, you can't do anything to lose it. His mercies are new towards you and you and you and me every morning. He wants you to come back to him again and live in the place of his steadfast love and his unending mercy and his great faithfulness. Would you, like the author of these verses, say, "The Lord is my portion, therefore I will hope in him again"? Would that be your heart posture tonight? You know, Salt Company, this isn't a room full of perfect religious people. Every one of us has a dark side. Every one of us are sinners against a holy God, and we are desperately in need of Jesus at every moment of every day. So guys, this place, it isn't for the perfect. It's a place for the broken to come and hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And every week, we're gonna gather because we need to be reminded of the only place where true hope is found, and that's Jesus Christ. Good news for those that are rebellious, and good news for those who are near. We want to be a community that talks about Jesus, that worships Jesus, that lives out their faith in Jesus, because we are convinced that there is nowhere else, nothing else, that will satisfy our hearts. And so, guys, I want to ask you, if you've never considered placing your hope in Jesus, would you consider that tonight? Maybe you've never stepped into a community that wants to point you to Jesus. You've just been living this Christian life solo. I want to invite you in. Maybe you've just been coming on Thursday nights, but you haven't really been plugged in with a city group. I want to invite you to get plugged into a city group, because coming to places like this remind us of our hope in Jesus. That points us to what actually matters. It helps focus our brains and our minds and our hearts on the one who truly is trying to give us life, not the things that society and culture is trying to pull us to. And so I want to invite you, keep coming back. Keep getting plugged into spaces such as Thursday nights and city groups. These are spaces where we remind each other the hope that is only found in Jesus. So I'm going to end in prayer here in just a little bit. The band's going to come up. We're going to sing some more worship songs. But I just want to create some space here. Like, if the Lord is doing something in your heart, like maybe you've been following Jesus for a while, but there's some sin that you have not confessed. There's sin that is just hiding deep in your heart. If you want to talk to somebody, myself and the staff will be hanging out in the back, behind the curtains. No one's going to see you. Come back. We'd love to talk with you. We'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're like, I want to actually place my faith in Jesus for the first time, and I just don't know how. We would love to help pray with you. Maybe you just need somebody to sit and listen. Guys, let's not leave tonight without responding to what Jesus is doing in our hearts. Yeah, dear Lord, man, your steadfast love, your mercies that are new every morning, your faithfulness to us. God, I'm so thankful that all those characteristics of you, they're not contingent upon my doing, but they're because you love us. God, I pray that you would show us deep inside that you truly are who you say that you are, that you are worth following, that you're worth giving our hope and trust to. Oh God, would you be at work tonight in our hearts? Would you show us that you are better? I pray this in your name. Amen.